believe in me, believe in God. That's the whole deal. All of the other theologies around that are trying to answer human questions through a fairly limited pool of scriptural resources. But they're not great. You know, there aren't huge testaments, even on the end times. You know? It's all fabricated out of hodgepodge bits and pieces of stuff. But there isn't any one clear document saying, well, this is the go, guys. So it's important to know that the Bible is a pool of resources. And if you've got a question, the Lord might lead you through one or other scriptures like that, but that might be personal for you. It isn't necessarily for the whole earth. And it's taken the Lord to do that. And is the Lord just meeting your need, or is the Lord really talking something for the whole world? Because so many times you get these prophetic unctions on people that talk about the Lord's turning up this Tuesday, so everybody runs up the hill on Tuesday, and of course the Lord doesn't come. Ah, it's okay, no, it's not Tuesday, it actually was Thursday. I was listening to the Greek, I should have been listening to the Aramaic. Yes, it's actually Thursday. So they all run up the hill on Thursday, God's not there. You know, so there's all this sort of stuff that goes on, and you've got to look at the mechanism that the person's using in their mind to find out whether that's true or not and what's happening. So if this is the first life, it raises these questions like that C was asking before. What's the purpose of this span of life? And in what way does it count for after life? That's a really important question, and the whole earth hangs on that question. Every religion tries to answer that question. Everybody's deepest fears, uncertainties, hang on that question. Don't matter who they are, you know, unless a little tot who can't yet think, a little baby can't yet think properly. But that's the significant question. So then we ask ourselves, how can we know that? And the only way we can know that, I think, is by three witnesses, four witnesses. One, what's it like for people who suffer? Secondly, what's it like for somebody like Elijah? So that's at the human level. We see someone who's clearly spiritually adept, and we see someone who's totally out to lunch and just, you know, cactus. So we can understand something of life between these two, and our experience is written. Then we get things like scripture, and we find out what's God got to say to us in all the different religions. And then fourthly, God sent his son. What does he say and do? And those four witnesses are reliable sources for evaluating what's the purpose of life on earth. And some people will say there's life before, this is not your first birth, even some Christians. There are some who say this is definitely your first life. There are some who say there is nothing after here. You see, even some Christians say, there is nothing after here. And Jews are particularly good at that. There is nothing after here. My afterlife is lived through my children, end of story. That's it. There's nothing for me personally after here whatsoever. And so they're very materialistic about it. And then there are some who say, oh, my life is going to continue on. Now, I've got a question for you. This is my take on it, just on my experience and my beliefs and how God's spoken to me. Because you can come to the Bible and you can find evidence for hell. You can find evidence for no hell. You can find evidence that you're going to get into heaven really just by knowing God, believing in God, or that you're only going to get into heaven by knowing Jesus. And like the whole Old Testament didn't know Jesus, but they knew God. So did none of those guys get into heaven? Well, Elijah proves no, you can get Enoch proves no. Isaiah and so on, there's a lot of witness there that just knowing God. And Jesus himself says, no, I melt into the Father. Father and I are one. And so you ask yourself these questions. Well, okay, so should I have a theology about Jesus being the only way to the Father, when Jesus himself says, well, the Father and I are one? Or is it okay just to have God? Because Because if Jesus and the Father are one, then God is okay, isn't it? And what is God? You know, God is this something penetrating into our superconscious realities, our upper high values, our high morals, our high ethics, our high vision, our high empowerment. God is impinging into that and giving us a different sense of not only who I am here, but the world around me, and therefore what my potentials and what my capabilities are, what my options are, what my opportunities really are. So that's what God is. So if I can get that through an amalgamation of Jesus and God just being God, then surely Jesus is going to deliver to me the stuff of God. And if I can get that better through Jesus, if that focuses me better, then I'm going to get stuff through Jesus. But you meet a lot of Christians who say, well, I just don't connect to Jesus too much. I hear his stuff, but I just connect to God. And then you hear other people say, well, I totally connect to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Who's right? Well, it depends what you've clung on to of the Father's values that he's been feeding you. Amen. So, you could have, you know, we all, if we sat down and we wrote things about Jesus, things about the Holy Spirit, things about the Father, we'd probably find we've got a different balance of either of them. You know? And somewhere in you would say, yeah, but we all agree because it's all God. But individually, we've all got our different takes on these things. Mm-hmm. So, who's right? You know, did we get it from the Scripture or did we get it from our experience? No. We saw it in the Scripture, but the Scripture was really reflecting what was happening inside of us anyway. Because if you take it from the Scripture without it happening inside of you, then it's just hollow, it's empty. You must take what's happening inside of you and you'll see the truth of that reflected in the Scripture. You know, and so God works like that. That's why you'll find God in the Scripture. Because God's done a work inside of you, as God's done a work inside of the animated characters in the Bible. And it's in the same kind of code, and it will speak to you. It has to. You go into a Walt Disney comic, God's not in a Walt Disney comic in the same way. And so the chances of finding God in a comic depend on you accessing that through a certain quirky avenue in your own mind. Mm. But if you come into the Scripture is talking about how God is interacting in other human beings, and other human beings are writing it down, and I reckon they're not particularly brilliant human beings at that. You know, the ones who are acting it out. But what's being written down about them is a story manufactured about these different characters. And it's manufactured to portray godly values. And it's manufactured to portray godly values juxtaposed to, contrary to, the values of the ordinary business world, political world, or war machine world. It's not juxtaposed to the marketplace as such, or war, because it's all in there, but it's talking about how is God interacting with a human being. So the writers are usually not the actors. Elijah didn't go home at the end of the day and say, ah, yeah. Was it 50 or 500 today, honey, that got burned up by the fire? No. He's not. Someone else is writing that down. Mm. You know? Someone else is carrying on the mythology of it. And it's written in mythological terms that capture the heart or the soul's attention. That's really important to know. And so sometimes people are not going to write down exactly what happened. They're going to write down the mythology of what happened. Because that's how the Holy Ghost works. The Holy Ghost works on values that get you looking upwards. Isn't it? So, yes.
Just in terms of where life begins and all that, Jesus, and obviously in the high priestly prayer, as you know, as I was sent, so I send them, and as I was, so are they in the world. And Jesus obviously didn't, when he was born, before that, he was obviously in operation in terms of all of creation. Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world, all that sort of stuff. I've seen, and I guess I believe that in terms of doing works before you come and coming to earth by agreement and coming as almost like a manifestation of the Father's heart. Like, I mean, I've seen that. I don't know what are your thoughts on, I mean, it's, of course it's our first life, but I don't believe it begins when we're born, I believe.
Your life does.
Really? But it's like there's some...
Because if it doesn't, then you have willfully experienced something before you've come to this world.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, if you have, what is it that you've experienced and what are the repercussions of that? And that's really important.
But Jesus said, aren't we functioning along the same timeline? I mean, not timeline, aren't we coming from the same similar place? It's like a man, you know, from the Father's heart. I think some people come to Earth
I think your personality is coming from the Father's heart into you, but your body...
Yeah, I know that's the first time, but that's only sustained through him perceiving it.
Maybe what you're talking about is a relationship with God when you're in the womb or when you're...
No, before.
When you're
spiritually... In terms of you talk about...
You have to answer two questions.
Yeah.
From where does your personality come and how is your will formed?
I don't know. I figure it's spirit. My will's...
Until you know that, treat it that they both happen in the course of being in the womb and being born here.
He showed me a yo-yo. The Father showed me a yo-yo and that's all creation was for us. And we go down the line and it like idols, and he sent Jesus to bring us, and it's all along the same passageway in all our lives from salvation are returning to him in terms of the place in his heart that he...
Now, do you know how that happens? And it happens in this way. If you look into the nature of your soul, you discover that in who you are as a person, you have got your capability to think and remember. You've got your body and its senses. You've got your unconscious pool of values that quite often are images or feelings. You've got the heredity that comes into you as potentials through your parents, through your genealogy, which is not you.
Yeah.
You've got mind, which is a matrix. Mind itself is nothing. Mind is a matrix for holding values and for the evaluation of values and for personality to draw to itself certain values. If you look at your mum and your dad, you do not get your personality from your mum or your dad. You get certain attributes of your genealogy from them. And so, in this collection of things, you are able to develop will. And first, will develops as a no. You know, the naughty, the terrible twos is when a child develops the ability to say no. No. Now, it's his first development. Because he comes out of sheep, he or she comes out of the womb and everything is just yes. Carte blanche, unquestioned yes. But around the age of two, the child learns to say no. And it's that no that develops their will. And then after a couple more years, they start to actually develop morals that enable them to make an educated decision around yes or no on moral grounds. And at that point, God can now connect to that person, because now God, who is a moral arbiter, is able to connect to the child. So that's the development of will. Personality, however, is the thing that comes from the Father. And personality is a timeless reality, a spaceless reality, which can host values that you, as personality, attribute to yourself and you endorse and you live with. And it's the Father who brings the personality to you. You are a direct offspring of the Father, not the Son, not the Holy Ghost. The Father sends forth his personality, and you start, and personality enters in to the embryo, enters in to the person, to become the foundation for self, for that I thought, or that I being, like that.